Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk show host, Randy Fine, and I have a really interesting show for you today. Today's special guest, Jillian Harris, is the author of Have We Met? How to Identify Your Reincarnated Loved Ones. She will be discussing the true story behind her book, Have We Met?, based on real events, and will share her profound experiences of soul recognition. Born a natural medium, oddities have happened to Jillian since she was a kid. She grew into these oddities, which are now the metaphysical gifts she used to be of service as a medium. A channel, a Reiki master, an ordained minister and teacher, Jillian is a CEO and metaphysical consultant. Her study and work in the realm of metaphysics started in her childhood as she began this lifetime fully aware of a life she was also living in another incarnation. Jillian's specialty is conscious creation, and she lives in Malibu, holds a master's degree in spiritual psychology. Going to let her tell you more about herself because she is a fascinating lady.
Oh my
God. So I know you're going to want to hear this. Good morning, Jillian. Welcome.
Good morning, Randy. Thank you so much. What a wonderful thank you for letting me be here and talk about the book. It's great. This is the beginning. It's just fresh off the presses.
Yeah. I mean, we squeezed you in. You know, I'm booking shows out until September now.
Oh, wow.
But your topic was so cool, I squeezed you in and did an extra show for you. So,
Oh, my gosh, thank you.
Sure.
Awesome. So where should
tell
I start?
Us about,
what would you like to know? Yeah.
Yeah, tell us about your gifts, you know, what
okay.
you have, because you have several.
Yeah, and so I have a wonderful publicist who came up with a brilliant idea. Let's call yourself a metaphysical consultant. And that way, a huge umbrella, because a lot of folks who have metaphysical gifts have a bunch of them. They're a medium, they're psychic, they're, you know, an energy Reiki specialist. Oh, my gosh, that did not really happen. So we're going to let me put this behind a pillow, and hopefully that will muffle it for a minute.
That's live radio. That's what happens.
Yeah, you know, good joy. Anyway, So I am a medium. I'm a mental medium. There are different types of medium. There's your physical medium, which I do have some of that gift, but in the book, I did it in percentages. I said, I'm a percentage of this, and I'm a huge percentage of this. So I'm more a mental medium, which covers your clairvoyance, clairsentience, and clairaudience. And then within those, there are different types. So, for instance, clairvoyance, or preference for me, would be clairaudience, where if you hear something, a message from, like, say, a spirit guide, and they're communicating you, most of the time people are getting this and they're hearing it inside their head like a thought, but it's going to be someone else's voice. So that would be subjective clairaudience, but then objective clairaudience, it's outside your head. It's like another voice. It's like you, Randy, talking to me, somebody making me turn my head and go, huh?
Wow.
That's objective clairaudience. Yeah, so I'm blessed with that. And luckily, the only voice that I really hear with any regularity is a spirit guide, a particular guide. And she's got the most amazing, incredible voice. Like, oh, my God. I mean, holy smokes. It's like she's coming through some sort of amplifier or something, and it's just
really?
The female version of the voice of God. That's the only way I can explain it. It's so, the high fidelity, it's just beautiful. And she doesn't say that much. She'll just spit out a sentence, and it'll usually make me go, no, what? Like, yeah, so her. And since I was a little kid, there are things that were happening that I really didn't understand because I wasn't ready. While I was fascinated as a child with metaphysics and many of the subjects around that, I wasn't ready for astral projection, and especially when I wasn't asking for it, when I'm just out in the field, you know, playing baseball with my friends, and I'm just standing there, and I'm, you know, guess I'm kind of like daydreaming a little bit. But that's the thing. There's a difference between daydreaming and then really seriously, suddenly you're back from somewhere where you have a whole physical sensation. I know the difference between being back from a thought, you know, my mind went somewhere, you know, mind journey. But this was a whole full body experience. I knew I'd gone somewhere. I knew I'd been gone for a while, or at least it felt like 20, 30 minutes. But, of course, it was in a flash, and so I'd come back, and now I don't have any memory, no recollection of what occurred. So I look around and I'm like, oh my God, hey, did I just look really weird just now? Because I thought I must have looked like a zombie for a while. And this happened to me a lot. It happened a ton when I was a little kid. And I was not too little. I was like, you know, when I recognized this was happening, I was maybe 10, 11, 12. And I remember finally going in the house one day, walking down the hallway, and I just did a quick prayer. I said, God, can you please make that stop happening. Amen. And I don't even think I said what that was, but God knows what time it is. So that was it, and that stopped. And by the time I realized what astral projection is and what, you know, just the implications of multidimensional existence, then, of course, I would love the idea, right, of going to these other places, but it wasn't happening anymore, so that's good. But it was quite a while from those instances that I did gain some understanding of even the fact that I was a medium.
Well, that was a lot to take in for yourself. I mean, that is really, you have nobody to really talk to about this when you're a kid, you know,
right.
Nobody to relate to. You just have these weird things happening, and it's not happening to anybody else. So
right.
How do you, you know, how do you cope with it? How do you navigate that process?
Thank you. I got lucky.
Yeah.
I think part of it, I know for certain that I was being counseled while my body rested. You know, that's what we do. We don't sleep. It's not us as souls who need sleep. It's our physical bodies that need sleep. And so when our physical bodies do that, we go off and we do other things. And I know I was being counseled then, and I got understanding. But one of the most profound things that helped me, I mean, because I kept studying metaphysics, the very, very first book that I ever read from cover to cover, because I was one of those kids, I just get, you know, just I don't know if I had, you know, attention deficit disorder or what, but I would just get bored with a book. I didn't want to read the rest of it. But the first book that I read from cover to cover was on mental telepathy. And that was kind of weird for my parents. They're like, our sixth grader is reading this book on mental telepathy. But anyway, so I forget where I was. Tell me, help me up. Where was I?
Oh, so we were just talking about support.
Oh, right.
And how you, okay.
My dad got me a tutor. So dad gets me a math tutor because I couldn't stand it. And luckily, this gentleman who was my math tutor, Ken Brennecke, who I want to say his name. I've had other opportunities to interview, and I haven't said his name out loud. If I could ever re-encounter Ken Brennecke, oh, my gosh, because he was such a gift for me, such a light beam, because while I didn't want to talk about math, I did want to talk about metaphysics, and he thought that was pretty cool. And sometimes when we were not doing math, and you need to understand, he worked with my dad, so he's like this 21-year-old man. I was 13, and so that, you know, and I had a crush on him. But so I really didn't want to talk about math, but he was very honorable and did not, you know, let my desires go where they wanted to go. But we talked about metaphysics a lot, and on some evenings when he wasn't going to, you know, be tutoring me, he'd say, okay, here's what we're going to do. At 6 o'clock, I'm going to send you this message, or I'm going to send you a message. You try to pick it up and tell me what it is next time I see you, or vice versa or something. So one time I had information for Ken, and I think this is this particular one, because we had tons of conversation, tons of, you know, events with each other in terms of, you know, working metaphysics and the even some of the law of attraction, but we didn't know that. I didn't know that's what it was called. But so there was this one day I said to him, I wanted to tell him about a vision that I kept having over and over and over. And I said, you know, there's this guy that I keep seeing, and he's walking along this sidewalk, and there's this row of bushes. They're like, I don't know if I said they were trimmed bushes, but I'm telling you now, Randy, the bushes were trimmed. Nicely trimmed bushes. So he's walking along this pathway, and it's a youngish white guy, like, you know, in his mid-20s, brunette hair, wearing a black leather jacket, walking, carrying, like, maybe a couple of books or something, but it doesn't feel academic. It feels more like he's got ambition going on, like maybe he's on his way to a job or an assignment or something, and he's walking, and he's just walking past me, going down this pathway. I keep seeing this, like, over and over and over again. So Ken says, oh, do you know him? I go, no, I am him. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. And so the part about this that really gets me, it's like, you know, when I go back before my first book, which was totally kind of like picks up from this moment, and I go forward with what I've learned about that, because I expected when I said this to him, I needed him to tell me what's up with that. There was absolute knowingness, 1,000%, that that was me. Just like if you look in a mirror and you see yourself and you know that's you, that you, you know, there was no question that this gentleman I was seeing was me, that we were one person. But it didn't make any sense, so I kind of needed Ken to, like, you know, tell me something, but instead his eyebrows went up and he was like, oh. And he really didn't have an answer for me. But instead of, you know, bursting my bubble like maybe my parents would have, he just said, you know, keep looking into that, you know, and figure it out.
That was nice. That was a nice approach.
It was way awesome.
Yeah.
So that's
I want to get into the primary story about your book, but I just wanted to make a comment that, you know, being in the physical world, we need to be somewhat grounded in order to get through this process.
Right.
How do you negotiate that when you are more up there and spiritual and in the other dimensions than you are in the grounded physical world? How do you do that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm searching
deeply
for an answer. Okay, it's coming. No. I think one way is, for one, I didn't deal with it. I wasn't that, and I didn't allow myself, really. It was too much for me as a young person. And so I want to say that even though I still had mediumship abilities and stuff, you'll read in the book, there's some crazy things that are revealed, some crazy chapters of my life where I clearly was not, you know, doing my daily meditations, you know, and stuff like that. So, you know, I think that it comes when it's time to come, you know, and when you can handle doing both and being able to ground yourself. And I know when I am too woo-woo, you know, to handle what's happening. For instance, oh my gosh, there's the CEO part of me. And the CEO part of me really is not even vibrationally in alignment with everything
really?
Else about me, yeah.
Okay.
And I often, I have to segment that part. And that part of me gets less and less of me as I go along. It's not my most enjoyable part anymore. Yeah. But it's just a different vibration. So it is a little bit different. But the other thing that I want to say, for me anyway, there's a blend of this because I go through my day-to-day, I guess not grounded because I'm completely clear that I'm living this existence as well as other lifetimes at this exact moment.
That is mind-blowing. I can't even imagine it. And
yeah.
I guess no one could unless you're actually experiencing it yourself. So I wanted to get into the story about your book so that we have time to really talk about it.
Okay.
So you call your book, Have We Met, you call it a nonfiction novel. And when I heard that, I wasn't sure exactly what you meant by that. But as I read the book, I understood. So you had a friend who died around 1983.
Yeah.
And you discovered he was born again in 1991, and you met him again in 2016.
Right.
And this story is largely centered on a cannabis what do they call them?
My favorite boutique. You call it a dispensary. I call it a boutique.
Cannabis dispensary.
Yeah.
Which you frequented quite often. So tell us this story.
I even made sure not to buy very much so that I could go back again for some other reason. I just kept wanting to go in there. Yeah.
I mean, that was just so cool that you just outed that about yourself. Okay.
I know.
Okay. So tell us the story about who you met. And what you discovered.
Okay, so, alrighty.
As succinctly as possible.
Yeah, okay. Right, so I was going to this place I don't want to give away all the stories, great stories about why I picked this particular dispensary, why, you know, the whole thing. But anyway, I was enjoying going there because of the personalities and a number of other reasons, but there were also messages and information that I was getting on a subconscious level that I wasn't consciously aware of. And eventually, I would say about 2 years into frequenting this particular boutique, I get a message that, and I get this subjective clairaudiently, that I know Anthony, who I've become very fond of over the last couple of years, I know him from another incarnation. And I'm like, okay. I mean, this is something that happens to me a lot. I recognize people. I guess I want to say a lot, not like every single day. I recognize somebody from, you know, that I've known before. But I have been blessed with recognizing friends who have already transitioned from this incarnation that I'm experiencing, and now they're back in a new incarnation. But so now this was another person, and I was like, okay, cool. You know, I also just let this kind of stuff go. It's not something where I want to, like, you know, excuse me, hi, it's me, Jillian. I just want to let you know that we've known each other before. I don't do that. It's like, that's just, like, really, like, weird. For me, I enjoy getting this information. It helps me stay grounded in the fact that I am an eternal spirit being, and it just makes that part of this easier and easier. Okay, I get that I know him from another incarnation, and at that point, I'm just assuming we both, you know, I don't know, did time and in 1832 or something, I don't know, you know. But then I get, it was a different incarnation for him, not for you. And that was kind of weird for a minute. And then I had to figure out what that meant. And what I got was that it was the same incarnation for me, but a different incarnation for him. So now I needed to do the math and figure out if this was right. So I go through that. Or if this is possible chronologically, you know. And it was, and I almost want to go into a tangent, but because it didn't necessarily need to be true, but we'll save that for a different book. Anyway, so it turns out that, you know, there was time for this to have occurred. Now I'm getting other messages, and I'm also getting an intense, like you catch a cold. I caught a ridiculously intense need to know who he was to me. And I was, you know, after finding out that, okay, we shared this incarnation, he was someone else that I know, okay, that is kind of intriguing, and I kind of do want to know, but I'm cool with, like, letting that go, too. I really am. But there was some other force that was not letting that be. And I, for a moment, like in the book I mentioned, you know, I want to say that that was God, but God's not impatient. So, and this was an impatient energy that was happening. So I go through things. I don't want to blow that part of the book for you, and I find out who he was to me. Should I say who he was to me? Should I say who he was to me? I don't know.
You didn't
Randy?
Say it now. You said it in the book, but you didn't
I
say
know.
It now.
Should I say it now? I'm
yeah.
thinking I don't know if I should say it now.
I mean,
that's
you
asking.
Can say it. You can kind of
okay, vaguely
gloss over it, but you you can
I'm
say
gloss
it.
Over. He was someone that I knew while I went through broadcasting school, and it was an absolutely provocative relationship, and at the same time, it was incredibly profound as this person basically set me on my path to a very successful 20-year radio occupation. So to have it be this person was extraordinarily profound, and now I go through a number of things in that respect. You know, in letting him know, I actually told him. Why did I tell him? So now I tell him, and I find out that there is a spirit on the other side who knows him, who needed to get this information to him. Basically, this person wanted to communicate with him. And disincarnates can spot a medium a mile away, figuratively. Technically, we're all really in the same space, and the veil is kind of illusional, you know?
Right.
So she was getting my information. Basically, she exploited my talents is what she did. But it's okay. And what I also talk about in the book is all the agreements that we make. It's like everything that we're involved in, all the relationships that we're involved in with people are all agreements that we made prior. So I made this agreement with this entity who's on the other side exploiting me. But basically, a very tender, precious part of the story when I find out who this person is. And I had no way of knowing. I had no reason to even think of this person. And then I had to get verification, you know, from him about this person. And so that's when it really all came together. That almost like, dang, whose book is this? And it's like it was this other person guiding me through the whole thing. I just like to document everything because it was so profound. And so I don't know if I've just now given enough of the story. But
I think you've teased us enough, but yeah,
okay, cool.
given the highlights of it, absolutely.
Yeah, I keep writing for a six-month period from the day that I share the information with him. I write for a six-month period as it keeps unfolding, and it just does keep unfolding like a soap opera. I'm like, oh my god, and oh my god, I gotta get to my keyboard and add this in. I kept thinking the book was done, and then it wasn't done, and the end was almost warm just me out. So it finally found an ending. Phew.
Well, and once you told him what you knew.
Yeah.
I mean, you really, really let it out. I mean, you told him everything. You really poured your heart out. And then you felt really weird about it. Yeah, it was like, wait a minute. How was that received? And, oh, what did I do?
And you had to
deal with that as well.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And I appreciate being able to be honest about that in the book, too. I mean, and that's one of the things you really got to think about this. And so this was this relationship with this instructor that I had. There was that romantic energy to it, and that was pretty intense, and that's bleeding over, but it doesn't help that the guy's handsome now. It's like, oh, geez.
Handsome and half your age.
Exactly half, exactly. I definitely could have birthed him. And so that sent me to another place, which I was supposed to go to, which I, that was also pre-agreed. We're going to go through this thing. We're going to re-meet each other in this lifetime. I'm going to feel these certain things. You're going to feel certain things. It's going to make me feel like this. I'm going to be on a psychiatrist couch because, no, not really, but in a way, it definitely played with me psychologically, emotionally.
Yeah,
I use the word play lightly. So I did feel a little, embarrassed, oh, my God. I hadn't even shared everything. There were things I was editing because when you're a medium, a lot of this kind of stuff, you're now tapping into the stream of consciousness where all the information is, and you're reading it. And if you're being completely authentic and honest about it, you're just coming out with what it is. You're seeing it, and you can edit, which I did. I expressed it like it was an assembly line of information coming across, and I'm like, oop, nope, let's skip that part for a minute, and let's do this part. Oh, yeah, no, the naked part, we'll skip that for a minute, but later. But then my thing about that is that stream of consciousness, it's not just available to me. It's available to him too. And my sense was that he was picking up what I was letting go by. And so I'm glad I got it out in the book, because that way, he could go, oh, yeah, I saw that.
Right. And you talk about him, and you have his permission to talk about him. So, how do we, as people who have, I'll just say, we have not developed these aspects of ourselves, because they're not easy gifts for us, is there a way for us to recognize people that have incarnated or reincarnated with us?
Yeah.
How do we do that?
Oh, yeah. So I realize that it's a number of things that you do. There are a number of things to look for. Just on the surface, I want to say and explain what a spirit family member is. And these would be people that we've bonded with. We've had a growth experience with, and that's our spirit family. And not all of our blood relatives are spirit family. Okay, so now we bump into someone who is a loved one from before, and we feel familiarity, and we're not saying anything, but we're noticing characteristics, maybe we're noticing certain things that they say, certain things they do, but of course there are a lot of people who, like, you know, things trend, you know, and so folks may say certain things similar to another, but you get a sense, and so now it's about being able to trust your own metaphysical skills, the messages that are coming to you by way of your own mediumship that you maybe didn't realize that you had. And so in the book and also in courses that I teach now, I help people to gain sensitivity for discernment, for instance, you know, to be able to know when that voice that they heard in their head is someone else telling them something, like a guide, rather than just their own thought. You know, was that just me being right. paranoid, or was that my guide telling me I really should close the window right now?
Right.
Yeah, and so exercising these things and then gaining confidence in them. But as we exercise them, there are a lot of tools, like even in the book, there are the cool little exercises. But there's one that I just thought of the other day that is not in the book. I'm like, damn, I should have put this one in there. If you have a partner, for instance, and Randy, you can try this later. have someone in front of you, but you close your eyes. That person is going to, or not, you don't have to close your eyes because this is silent, but they're going to scream your name at you through with their head, but not out loud, not with using their vocal cords. So any time that they do that, you're going to say yes or now, you know, that you got it. I'll give an example of when I did this once. So the person is screaming their head. In fact, this was in school. I love this exercise. They're screaming it, and I loved it because I, as a medium, I get these messages, and I'm so accustomed to it now that I know that I got it. I don't look for what did that feel like. Did, you know, was there any sort of physical sensation? Was there a particular sound or anything that came with it that made me know? How did I know? It's just a natural part of me now. But so I had this opportunity in this exercise to be able to really break it down. So I'm standing there, eyes closed. My partner is yelling my name at me. When she would do it, I would say now. And when she would do it, I felt like you may have heard that thought has weight to it. And I got to actually see that, feel that kind of happen as this energy would, like, kind of fall to the floor, go across the floor, and then come up my body from my feet and then, like, up to, like, my knees. It sort of dissolved as it got to that point, but I could see where it was coming from, or I could feel where it was coming from, and I just felt this wave. And when I felt that wave, I'm like, oh, I wonder if that's it. I'm like, now. And she goes, yes. So I kept doing that, and then I got one that came up my right side, which was kind of weird, and I said, now. And she goes, no. And I opened my eyes. I'm like, what? Because I'm now accustomed to what this feels like physiologically, which was an interesting thing for me. So I turned to my right, and there were a couple of assistants in the classroom sitting there. And I said, one of you just say my name. And they're like, oh, my God, what are you? But that, it was a great exercise, you know. And so there are things like that, to be able to close your eyes and plug your ears and know whether someone else has stepped into the same room as you, just to get that discernment, because our energy is actually, we can feel it. There's a sensitivity that we are able to connect to know whether that's there or not. I don't know if I'm using the right words, but there are people who, you know, you can step right up next to them. You're almost breathing at them, and they don't know that you're there. Mm-hmm. Where there are other folks, they barely put their toe in the room, and the person's like, now.
Yeah, and, you know, and I, as I told you, I work with people who have suffered narcissistic abuse, and children who go through that end up being very empathic, very sensitive, because they are on such high alert for so long that they become hypersensitive to the energies around them.
Wow.
So, yeah, so it's really interesting. Every single child of a narcissistic abuse is empathic in some way.
Yeah.
And it could be very painful because we're so sensitive. I have the same thing.
Wow.
And, you know, so we all have it to a degree. I mean, I see things all the time. I don't see them. I see it out of the corner of my eye, and when I look, it's not there.
That.
But I
awesome.
Hear things, too. I mean, not
uh-huh.
here, but I know the difference between my thoughts and the thoughts that are coming in.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes I'll have a little conversation out loud
yeah.
like you do. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and it's just a matter of practicing, as you said.
Exactly. It's just a muscle. And the more you use it, the stronger it gets. And the part is just discipline, you know, disciplining yourself to stay at it. And it is actually part of how I believe we're supposed to live naturally, you know, and unfortunately we're influenced, you know, more and more, especially in life on this planet, to not pay attention to that part of us. But that's what we really are. This physical part is kind of an illusion, you know, and the part that is so real about us, we can't even see. It's invisible.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the part that needs the most attention. And with that part, then we can do so many other things. That's where, you know, conscious creation, the law of attraction, and really being able to manhandle this life and have a good time with it, that's where that comes from.
Yeah, it's just kind of a suit we wear, right? That
yeah,
just gets us through this life and allows us to experience what we need to experience, because I guess our physical bodies, there are certain things that we're going to go through physically that are for our greater good. And,
right.
Yeah, so
right.
we need the body
yeah.
for a little while.
Yes, yeah. It's important, and it also, just like time being an illusion, but we need it. It helps us. If not for it, we wouldn't have certain elements that make us pay attention. And like you were saying earlier, you know, how we are so focused. It's like we're not designed to be able to take in all of the dimensions that we're experiencing right now, all in this. We wouldn't concentrate and focus on this lifetime that we're living here right now,
exactly.
which is the most important thing. And then the other thing that I hope to impress in the book is that, you know, there are so many people who we are having relationships with, whether even it's just simple, like get the mailman, you know, but that person who was your mailman this time may have been like that fellow soldier, you know, you saved each other's lives six times in another incarnation or something, you know. We have interactions. It's like that 6 degrees of separation. It's really about two when you add in the multidimensionality of life and the fact that we all are living more than just this right here.
Yeah, it is just beyond our comprehension because we have never experienced it. Do you think that when we meet someone who we have known before, that there's a series of synchronicities that we should look out for?
I think that there can be, but I also
but not always.
Yeah, exactly. Not always. Like, think about that relationship where you're, you know, it just seems so random. A friend of mine was shopping in a mall, and she lost track of time, and she was talking with this other lady who also lost track of time in the dressing room. They're trying on all these dresses and whatnot, and then they come out, and Macy's is closed. It's closed. The mall is closed, and they are somewhat stuck in the mall until they figure out, walking for hours, how to get out. They finally get a way out. Now they're walking and walking to get around to where their cars are, and they end up being the best of friends. So now prior to this, you know, moment, they might have seen each other at the grocery store once or twice or something, but now, and in those moments, at the grocery store, you know, when they might have seen each other, they had no way of knowing that they were, you know, destined to be such great friends and destined to be, probably already are, great friends in another incarnation. Does that make sense?
What a great
so it's
story.
Like,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
What a great story. I like that one. I'm sure you have a a slew of stories because you work with people.
A plethora, indeed.
I'll bet you do. So we're talking about your book, Have We Met? How to Identify Your Reincarnated Loved Ones, Jillian. And your website is JillianHarrisWorldwide.com, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And Jillian is spelled G-I-L-L-I-A-N, HarrisWorldwide.com.
It's like Gillian.
Gillian, yeah, like Gillian.
But you pronounce it like Jillian, but it looks like Gillian. Yeah.
Exactly, exactly. And for those who would like to reach out to you, how do they do that?
So you can do it through the website, or you can also shoot an email to GillianHarrisWorldwide@gmail.com. But the website is the best way, and there are all kinds of buttons you can click on there to send me messages, and I do get back in touch with you. So, you know, make sure that I have all the information that I need to reach you for whatever reason that you need to be reached.
And so do you do readings?
I do.
For people?
I actually don't really do readings. I am a goal coach. So my specialty is metaphysics and conscious creation. So people come to me with an intention that they want to make come true, make it, you know, come into fruition. And so I teach them how to pull the magic out of, you know, who they're being, who they are. So ultimately, they don't need me anymore. One-on-one coaching, and I also do it in classes and workshops. And I'm doing an amazing workshop that is about to kick off this month, and it's called Spirit Families, Why We Flock. And doing this one, you actually get to bring to the course your spirit family and list them. Look at your life and figure out, who are these people? There's some great surprises to be had. And then to look at why, what are the lessons that you're to learn? What are the blessings that you're getting from some of those relationships, even the positive ones? Why wait until that person, you know, you're at their funeral and, oh, if not for them, I wouldn't have this, that, and the other thing. Why not acknowledge that now while everybody's still here?
Oh, wow. What a good thing to say. That's so wonderful. That's so wonderful. When you're with people, is information constantly coming in, or you know how to filter that and block it?
You know, people say that and they wonder and they worry about hanging out with somebody who's able to do what we do. But I really want to say that we're just not that nosy. And number one, I really do like to get permission before I, you know, psych someone's world, because it's personal. And then the number two is it takes effort, you know, to stop and zoom in. And I have my own life, you know, going on,
right,
and a big
gotcha.
World. And so, yeah. So, but I do find that if something needs to come through, it is going to come through. And, you know, I may walk away from a conversation going, whoa, I just got some information about that, you know, and either I need to take action or I don't.
Mm-hmm. It may keep you up at night. It may keep knocking on your head.
Yes.
And, you
know,
you've got to pass this information on. Well, wow, this has been so fun. And I want to tell my listeners that, you know, Jillian is fun, and she writes fun, too.
Oh, thank you.
It's really cute the way she writes. It's just very natural.
Oh,
so,
thank you for that. I really appreciate your feedback, because it was nerve-wracking. I've really developed so much. I'm like, oh, my God, what have I done? Like, I want to just redact all parts of the book before giving it to my parents. But I got brave and gave them the whole book.
It is a huge leap of faith when you publish that book. I know. I've published a few. And when you put it out there, it's like you have just put your whole life out there for people. And it's a little scary. But if we don't do it, people don't learn from us, and that's what's really important, right?
Exactly, right. Yeah, to be real, that's the only way to really share.
Right. So you have to be a brave little soldier and just suck it up and do it. You know, that's how I feel. Anyway, we're out of time, Jillian. Thank you again
so
for
much,
being
Randy.
my great guest. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I've loved it.
Good. It was fun. We had a good time.
We did.
All right, Jillian, hopefully our paths will cross again sometime. I appreciate
absolutely,
you.
Absolutely. I appreciate you. Take care, Randy.
Okay. Bye-bye. Have a good day. So we are out of time for today. If you have any comments or questions about today's show,
we hope you
can
enjoyed
email me.
Today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.
And I want to tell all of you that I have taken the G out of everything I do. So it's now Randy Fine, RANDIFINE. My website, my email, I just wanted to say that because my recording is kind of old. But anyway, randyfine.com and Randy Fine, love your life at randyfine.com. Take care. Bye-bye.
Am I still live?
Are you there?
Yes.
Oh, I'm surprised. Hi.
Hi. I was going to hang up. Yeah. But we're not live anymore, right?
We are not.
Okay, good. Okay. Now I get to genuinely say thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah, it was really a lot of fun. You know, I don't often... Wait a minute, let me just make sure we're not live.
Right.
It didn't tell me the show closed, which is really weird.